when on the cross of Calvary the Lord was crucified. The mob stood round about him and mocked until he died. Two thieves were nailed beside him to share his agony. But one of them cried out to him, "Oh Lord, remember me." Oh, will the Lord remember me when I am called to go, when I have crossed death's chilly sea? Will he his love there show? Oh, yes, 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 he heard my feeble cries from bondage, set me free. And when I reach those pearly gates, he will remember me. Oh, what a shame to kill him there on that rugged cross. But such a death was needed to rescue all the lost. His blood was made a ransom to set the captives free. I know that I'm included, and he will remember me. Will the Lord remember me when I am called to go, when I have crossed death's chilly sea? Will he his love there show? Oh, yes, 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 he heard my feeble cries from bondage, set me free. And when I reach those pearly gates, he will remember me.
And as I told him, I said, the only way that I'll muzzle him or call him down is if he has said something that's contrary to the Word of God.
Amen.
And I'm glad you're here today, and going to share with us what God's doing in your heart and in your life. And so, Brother Bell, you come on. Most of the folks here know you a little bit better than I do, but a pleasure to meet you, sir.
Amen. What a blessing to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Amen. Hope you're glad to be here.
Amen.
That's fine. Yeah, so if you can come back. I don't think they got it. Lord have mercy. I didn't know if you was here for Sunday school, but I told you. When I first went in that church, I was saved again. My wife was saved again. You know, people got to saying, "It is well with my soul."
Amen.
When they got that second verse, "My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more."
Hey,
listen, friend. There wasn't a dry eye in the place.
Amen.
People were up waving their hands, shouting, rejoicing, running the aisles, just on that song.
Amen.
And I'll be honest with you, we are hard pressed to find that type of excitement anymore in the house of God.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's sad. It really is, man. You know, sometimes it's my fault, man. You know it is. Now, I'm not gonna eat all of it. But sometimes it is. I honestly believe dead church services are an abomination to the Lord. They really are. And honestly, you know, you gotta understand something. You know, when we get together and we meet with the Lord, it's either gonna be supernatural or it's gonna be superficial.
Yeah.
You decide today which one it's gonna be.
Amen.
And you know, if you're more excited about, you know, whatever season it's supposed to be, the Reds or whoever, look, friend, something is wrong. Something bad, bad wrong. When I think about my sins being forgiven,
yeah,
and I'm on my way to heaven, amen.
Amen.
When I understand the wickedness and the sinner that I was, and what I deserve, and how I ought to be in hell, but it was only because of the mercy of God. Just like the preacher got ready to testify, I was in church every Sunday, and I was a Sunday school teacher, like you see, younger people working with the children. I used to do that, and the whole nine yards. And if you gave me a verse out of the Bible, especially if it was in the New Testament, before you get through giving me the verse, I could probably quote it before you even get it out of your mouth. But I was lost and on my way to hell. Just a hothead, a bad attitude, bad disposition, always getting in trouble in school, making bad grades for nothing. A poor mother, you know, didn't own a car. We lived on one side of town. She worked on the other side of town. And it was nothing for her to come once or twice a month, you know, to see about me in school because I was just such a knucklehead. I'm just being honest. Oh, we're going to church every Sunday. I mean, it stinks. It really does. I'm like the Apostle Paul. I thank God for Jesus Christ who saved sinners, of whom I am chief. Amen. Because I realized that when the Lord got a hold of my heart and opened up my eyes, I was worse than any streetwalker, any drug dealer, any alcoholic, and I never even once had any of that stuff to my lips or my arm or anything. But I was on my way to hell. Dying on my way to hell, because you know what the bottom line was, is that because I was a sinner by birth and I was a sinner by choice, and whatever I felt like I could get away with, I was willing to do it. Thank God there came a day in March of 1994. I was at an all day preacher's meeting, not the day before, never will forget it. And I was sitting there, and one preacher after another, and no matter what they preached about, they always got around to salvation. The last preacher that night preached about Lazarus. Never will forget it. He talked about how Lazarus went from the tomb to the table. How he was dead in that grave and he stunk. And now the next time you see him in Luke chapter number 12, there he is sitting at the table with Jesus.
Amen.
And talking about how people need to be saved. Amen. And many people had come forward that day and got saved. And I was sitting there all day long fighting off that conviction. That's how they used to do it in Independent Baptist Church. They get together and have preaching all day long. Yeah. One preacher after another. Yeah. Bam, 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 bam. You sat there. Now they feed you and all that other stuff too now, but I mean, the main thing was the preaching of the Word of God. Sure, they didn't have special singing and all that, but see, back then they didn't have these groups and all that. Oh, no, uh-uh. You know, people with families would get up and sing, just like the brother got here with a guitar and everything. See, that's the way it used to be.
Amen.
Yeah. See, the church wasn't a place of entertainment, you know, like it is today. No. It was a place of worship. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
It was a place of worship and hearing the Word of God. And I tell you, I just sat there. And I mean, you know, I'd be sitting there grabbing on the pew in front of me just like this. And if you ever wanted to see a black man turn white, all you do is look at my knuckles as I was grabbing that pew in front of me. An old-time Holy Ghost conviction. And that pastor that was leading that meeting that night said, some of you are leaving here tonight in sad, pitiful shape. And if he wasn't talking about anybody else in there, he was talking about me.
Yeah.
Because I knew I needed to go down there. Amen. And the only thing that kept me back was the same thing they hollered about this week. Pride. Pride.
Yeah.
The old stinking sin called pride.
Yeah.
What is everybody going to think? I don't want everybody looking at me and all this other stuff. Pride.
Yeah.
Pride. And then I had to be reminded that when my Lord was crucified for my sins, he didn't go off in some back alley somewhere in the dark and get crucified.
Yeah.
No.
It was high on a mountain.
Yeah.
Right. You forget these little pictures you see about Jesus wearing a cloth around him and just a little bit of blood coming from his hands and his feet and a little bit from his brow. Mm. That's some that all that is a picture.
Yeah.
That's not what Jesus looked like on that cross. He was stripped naked.
Yeah.
The Bible says they gambled over his clothing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He didn't have anything on.
Yeah.
And by the time he hung there on that cross, you could barely even tell that he was born of a woman because of the beating he endured.
Yeah.
And usually a crucifixion is supposed to last about 3 or 4 days. Because they wanted you to die a slow, long, agonizing death. But the Lord Jesus bowed his head and gave up the ghost in just 6 hours.
Yeah.
showing that he was totally in control.
Yeah.
Amen.
Understanding that I realized and said, you know, Lord, you did that for somebody as wicked as I am. Well, the next day came.
Yeah.
And I remember I was looking for a job. I was in my little red Nissan Sentra, me and my wife used to have, and we didn't have as many kids we got now. So, you know, we could get away with a little car back then. Not now, but then we could. And I never forget old brother Oliver B. Green being on the radio. See, like I said, I'm a religious man. I ain't had no problem listening to things on the radio. I ain't had no problem. Amen. Somebody preaching something. Hey, I want to help here. And guess what he was talking about? You need to get saved.
Yeah.
You need to get saved.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, I pulled that car over on the side of that street, and I cannot even quote you what it was I said. All I know is my hands went up, and I cried out to the Lord, and that day he saved me.
Amen.
And I thank God that he did.
Amen.
And listen, and not just that day, but that day and since that day, I always knew that. Now, and I don't have to wait. You know what? I don't have to wait till I come to church to do this either. Amen. I don't have to wait till I come to church to rejoice in my salvation.
Right.
Get up in the morning. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Not just for another day, but Lord, if last night was my last day, I have nothing to worry about.
Amen.
My sins are forgiven. I'm on my way to heaven. I don't have to worry about that last, whatever. I ain't got to worry about anything. It's all gone. Amen. I thank God. I just thank the Lord for it. I tell you, people get to bragging about how much money they spent building buildings. And I always ask them, has anybody ever had a good old time Holy Ghost fit in there? Hey, what you talking about? I said, my. How much you say y'all paid for this? Only about $5-6 million. My brother, that's about $5-6 million wasted.
Yeah.
Because if the building's so nice you can't worship it, you just wasted your money.
That's right.
I don't care how it looks and how impressed you are with it. Amen.
Amen.
But listen, friend, worship is always in order at the house of God.
Amen.
I thank God for it. So I've come to learn a lot of times people can't rejoice because really they ain't got nothing to rejoice about.
That's right.
You know, the greatest mission field in the world a lot of times is the church pews.
Yeah.
Lost people who are deceived, thinking that they're saved, when really they've never been born again. But and I'll say, I was one of them. So I know of what I speak. I've been there. I know what I speak. But praise the Lord. You go ahead and be turning to Matthew chapter number 22. I'm just going to be brief and tell you about the ministry again, for those of you that were not here in Sunday school this morning. But that's the way it used to be. Anybody other than me remember a time like that in church? I mean, people would shout, they'd wave their hands, they'd run their aisles. And it was like that all the time. People were excited about being in church. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I still think it's an old amen. But we'll be going later this summer, my family and I, to Killeen, Texas, which is in central Texas, right outside of what used to be Fort Hood, Texas, military installation. It's now Fort Cavazos, which happens to be the largest military installation in the world. And we will be going there for the express purpose of beginning an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing church. And so please take a prayer card off the display. I'll be leaving some prayer cards back as we leave today. On the back of that prayer card is a QR code. If you scan it to your smartphone, you will then find and upload the purpose of the ministry, letter of recommendation from my pastor, purpose letter from myself, and then also the testimonies of my wife and I. And soon a video will be uploading to share with you what the ministry really is all about. So I've covered earnestly your prayers. I am in need of monthly support, and also we're in need of moving expenses. And so if you were to, you please take that and remember us in prayer. We greatly appreciate it. Again, I'll thank Pastor Mark, and I don't call him Pastor Mark out of disrespect. I just don't want to butcher your last name. So I thank Pastor Mark for allowing us to come and being here with you today. And it's a blessing, and I'm truly thankful and humbled by the relationship that I've been able to have with this church over the years. And I thank God for you, thank God for each and every one of you. It was your pastor emeritus that got me on the radio, and I never will forget, there were several times I was a guest on his broadcast, and he introduced me to all the people over there at Channel 19 over in Cincinnati, and got on the radio there for a while, and we branched off, and Brother Jim Stevens, of course, was in heaven now. He was the radio manager over there, and so they worked out a deal where we could be on the radio, and it was a blessing. Had our own broadcast there for a while, and so God's just been good. God's just been good, and just not to be known or well known, and that just to be a voice crying in the wilderness, like John the Baptist, just wanted to be a voice crying in the wilderness to plead with sinners to come to the Lord, to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, to pardon their sins. And so I thank the Lord for Pastor Jones and him introducing me to the radio broadcast, and just a friend and mentor that he has been to me. It's been almost 10 years that we've been here in Northern Kentucky, and I tell you, he has been a true friend. And your current pastor, Pastor Mark, had the pleasure of meeting him not too long ago, and he's been a friend as well, and I'm just so thankful for this church, and I thank God for you. Matthew chapter number 22, beginning with verse number 1. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise, and the remnant took his servants, and treated them spitefully, and slew them. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his holy word. Lord, be my help today. I'm going to preach from that thought in verse number 5, the very first portion of that verse. They made light of it. They made light of it. Now, I'm convinced today that that's exactly what we see today, just like in Jesus' day, just like all throughout the Bible. It's nothing new. Like the Bible says, there's nothing new under the sun. God's message goes forth. God's message goes forth from God's man, and the general response for most that hear it, is they will make light of it. They will count it unimportant. There's at least 15 to 20 other things that they could be doing, and hundreds of other things they'd rather be doing than hearing the message from God Almighty. They made light of it. Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you today. I ask you, Lord, please, to help me hide me behind the old rugged cross. Deliver me from myself, Lord. Fill me with power from on high. Help me, Lord, to stand here behind the sacred desk, and Lord, to handle your work properly, to handle your people properly, and Lord, to most of all glorify you. Your word says the flesh profits nothing. So, Father, we don't want to operate in the flesh today. Lord, I don't want to stand here today in the wisdom and the craftiness of words of man's wisdom, Lord, but here in demonstration and in power of the Holy Spirit. Help us now, Father. Help us, Lord, to turn our minds and attentions off the mundane affairs of this life, and Lord, look to these eternal truths that you've given us in your word. May the word of God and the spirit of God have free course in this place today. In Jesus' name, amen. Here in the Gospel according to Matthew, the Lord Jesus is explaining the kingdom of heaven by way of parables. And as you realize, parables are nothing more than earthly illustrations, but they have heavenly messages. One thing that is common about parables is that parables never mention anyone's proper name. And that is why when you go to Luke chapter number 16 and you read the story about Lazarus and the rich man who went to hell, that is not a parable. It's not a parable because Lazarus' name is mentioned, and Moses' name is mentioned, and Abraham's name is mentioned. But one person's name is not mentioned, and that's that rich man. Because you have to understand that in the sight of God Almighty, anyone that has never been born again does not have that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The wonderful thing about knowing Jesus Christ is not, like as the pastor just said, not just that I'm going to heaven. I thank God that I really get to go. Amen. There is a real heaven to gain. Amen. There is a glorious heaven that is prepared for amen, those that are saved by the grace of God. And yes, I am thankful that I'm included, and I'm thankful that, yes, I really get to go. Amen. What a blessing that is. Amen.
Amen.
I don't understand these so-called Christians today that are afraid of dying and going to heaven. I don't understand that.
Yeah.
I realize, yes, that when you are looking at death face to face, there is a certain amount of fear that may come over you. I understand that. Until God gives you dying grace. Amen.
Amen.
I realize, no, God has to give you dying grace. Amen. Because, see, you got to understand on this journey, it's all about grace. It was grace when I got saved. It was grace to live. And one day, when I come down to that place where we get ready to cross over into eternity, it will be dying grace that'll have to meet me right then. Amen.
Amen.
But understand something. The thought of crossing over, the thought of meeting God, the thought of things ending out in this life, as it, that should not bring fear to the heart of the child of God. Amen.
That's right.
Oh, no, because you understand something. Listen, friend. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. Paul said it this way. He said, for me, it is far better that I go be with the Lord. And I don't know about you, but I know the longer we live, the more I realize, preacher, it's far better for me to go and be with Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thank God. Yes, he has a reason that it's more needful that I stay right now, but it's not better that I stay. It's better, amen, when I go. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The best day of my life will not be the end of my life. The best day of my life is when, my dear friend, we pass out of this life and I go to be with the Lord. I go to be with the one who died for me.
Amen.
I go to be with the one who lives inside of me. I go to be with the one, amen, who has forgiven me of my sins, who took my place on Calvary's cross, amen. I go to be with the one in whose name I prayed in the whole time I prayed down here on earth.
Amen.
Without the name of Jesus, every prayer is in vain.
Amen.
That's why the National Day of Prayer is nothing but a big waste of time. Because nowadays they're trying to tell you, we'll pray, but we won't pray in Jesus' name. Well, I got news for you. It's not a prayer.
Amen.
If you're not praying in the name of Jesus, you haven't prayed.
Right.
All you've done is uttered some religious words that are meaningless.
Yeah.
But he said, listen, anything you ask of the Father in my name, I will do it. And many times I've seen him in the scriptures. Many times I understand. I see him by faith. I see him in my heart. Lord, thank God. There is coming a day when my eyes will open and I will see him.
Amen.
I will see him as he is. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, there's a song we used to sing all the time. Oh, I want to see him and look upon his face. Amen. Oh, we look forward to that day.
Amen.
When finally, we will no longer even need faith. The faith will return into sight. And with my eyes, I'll see him.
Wow.
But it gets better than that. I will be just like him. Amen.
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 What a blessing. Jesus here is giving this parable. And the gospel according to Matthew is all about the kingdom. And it depicts our Savior, our Lord, as King. And I thought that when you give a brief overview or an outline of the book of Matthew, it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ as Christ the King. You understand that there is only one gospel, but there are four accounts to this same gospel. And the gospel of Matthew is about our Lord the King. Oftentimes we're talking about the kingdom. He tells us that seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. He's talking about the kingdom of heaven here in this parable. And the kingdom of God, and that the king, he has a kingdom, he has a domain. In other words, he is ruler. Back in the Old Testament, as you know, there were three main spiritual offices, and that was prophet, priest, and king. And you understand that in his earthly ministry, our Lord, he fulfilled all three offices of prophet, priest, and king.
Right.
You see, as prophet, what the prophet would do is he would speak to the people on behalf of God Almighty.
Yeah.
He would come to the people with a message that came from the Lord. See, false prophets were not tolerated back in these days as they are now.
Yeah.
See,
yeah.
Whenever someone was a false prophet, and all they had to do was prophesy something wrong one time, and that false prophet, it wasn't the nine times you got it right. It was the one time you got it wrong, buddy.
Yeah.
And when you got it wrong, you were deemed as a false prophet, and false prophets were stoned in Bible days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no, not now. No, now they're on TV, and they write books, and they're multi-millionaires and all that other stuff now. Oh, but not back in Bible days.
No.
Back in Bible days, no, they were not lauded and applauded. Oh, no. No, no, no. They were severely dealt with. I'll give you an example. Elijah, and that contest at Mount Carmel. It was not just, my dear friend, that his God, the real God, amen, answered by fire, and not only burned up the altar, but sucked up all the water and everything else. But what did he say when it happened? Get all them false prophets, catch every last one of them, and kill them.
Yeah.
They slew every last one of them. 450 false prophets of Baal were also slain that day.
Yeah.
See, again, people understood whenever there was a move of God, they knew that everything phony had to be killed and done away with.
That's right.
And that's exactly what happened in those days. But our Lord Jesus Christ, amen, every prophet that was a God-called prophet in the Old Testament, everything that he predicted, it came to pass.
Amen.
Many of the things, especially when you talk about the prophet Isaiah, many things he prophesied, he even never really lived to see. But everything he prophesied, it came true.
Amen.
And my dear friend, then there was the office of the priest. And the priest was a little bit different. The priest was the one that would go to God on behalf of the people. Amen. See, the prophet went to the people on behalf of God, but the priest would go to God on behalf of the people.
Amen.
And the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. That's exactly what he has done. He has gone to the Father on your behalf and on my behalf. Amen.
Amen.
Thank God, amen. That's why the Bible, he said what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He is the mediator. There's one God and one mediator between God and man. The man, Christ Jesus. Amen. Why? Because, you see, a mediator has to be able to perfectly understand both sides. Amen. And our Lord perfectly understands both sides. He perfectly understands God, for he is God.
Amen.
And then he perfectly understands man because he became man.
Yeah.
So he knows what it is to be tempted. He knows what it is to be tried. He knows what it is to be persecuted. He knows what it is to endure physical pain and suffering. So he perfectly understands God, he perfectly understands man, and therefore he is the mediator between God and man, and beside him there is no other way.
Right.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
No other way.
Yep.
And that's why the religions of the world don't like us Christians, because we're dogmatic about this thing about Jesus being the only way.
Yeah.
Now, in their finite minds, there could not possibly be only one way. Oh, but there is only one way. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen? Not the best way, not a good way, but the only way.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen? Neither is there salvation in any other. Amen?
Amen?
There's no other name under heaven given among men, whereby what? We must be saved.
Yeah.
Hey, you got the freedom to believe and worship however you want to. But if you want to have peace with God, if you want an eternity in heaven, there is but one way to get there, and that is through Jesus Christ. You're not going to go any other way. He said, I am the door, hallelujah, to the sheepfold. Hey, thank God, amen. Because I used to be one of those jokers that was trying to climb up some other way. I used to be one of those ones that was trying to get there by my good works and trying to get there by my church membership and by my baptism and by all those little good deeds I thought I was doing. I was one of those people that thought that I was going to try to be good enough and hopefully one day my good would outweigh my bad. But thank God somebody came one day and opened up the Word of God and showed me the truth. And when I realized how I looked before God Almighty, I understood that everything I had was all on the bad side. Amen. The plowing of the wicked is an abomination before the Lord. The prayers of the wicked are an abomination before the Lord. Amen.
Yeah.
Right.
Everything you do outside of a relationship with Jesus Christ is nothing but a vain religious performance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen. There are preachers that don't know Jesus.
Yeah.
No. Hey, I'm going to read Matthew chapter 7. What they say? Did we not prophesy in your name?
Yeah.
They're not talking about Baal worshipers. They're not talking about people who worship Muhammad and the nation of Islam. No. These are people who preach in Jesus' name. And yet, they have no relationship with him.
Yeah.
There will be many men that stood where I'm standing right now and preached good sermons.
Yeah.
Who are going to die and go to hell.
Yeah.
No relationship with Christ. Amen. Huh? What did Isaac say to Abraham? Father, I see the wood and I see the fire, but what? Where is the what? Where is the lamb for the sacrifice?
Yeah.
Yes. Without the lamb, buddy, it's all in vain.
Yeah.
The march up the mountain means nothing. The wood carrying on your back means nothing. The fire being started means nothing. Without the lamb, we are here in vain.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Let me ask you something, church member. Where's your lamb for your sacrifice?
Yeah.
Where's the lamb? Hey, listen, friend. Our goodness won't be good enough. We understand that.
Amen.
Because, see, God doesn't love good people because ain't no such thing. Amen. No such thing. Hey, there's an all-inclusive club. It's called the Sinner's Club.
Yeah.
It's 6.5 billion strong.
Yeah.
God says there's almost 7 billion of you here on the face of this earth. And not a one of you is any good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's God's indictment against man. Amen. But you look at the book of Matthew, and when you do a quick overview, you see how the king is revealed, first of all. We see the birth of Christ. And we see his early childhood. And we see that at the person of him in chapters 1 through 4. We're going to go through all this. And we understand how he was had a great amount of wisdom even at a young age. But yet he still submitted to his earthly father and mother. And understanding who he was and knowing who he was. He gave us that perfect example. And we see also, as I mentioned in Sunday school, we see the principles of this same king, our Lord. In Matthew 5 through 7, we have the Sermon at the Mount. And the Lord Jesus Christ gives us his principles. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. He tells us about, again, the Beatitudes, and blessed are the poor in spirit, and blessed are they that mourn, and blessed are the pure in heart, and the peacemakers, and so on and so forth. He talks to us about prayer. He talks to us about forgiveness. He talks to us about retaliation. He talks to us about almsgiving. Amen. You talk about some shotgun preaching. Amen.
Yeah.
From Matthew 5 to Matthew 7, the Lord Jesus Christ gets some shotgun preaching, buddy, and he didn't miss anything.
Yeah.
He covered it all. Marriage and divorce and the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
And when he stepped back, they were astonished and said, listen, ain't nobody ever spake like him before. That's a man that spoke with authority. That man did not speak like the scribes and the Pharisees. Oh no, this man is speaking with authority. And that's exactly what a lot of people don't like today. They don't like authoritative preaching, amen.
Yes.
They don't like authority at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. And see, authority should not start, amen, when you come to the house of God. Authority ought to start at your house, amen.
That's right.
And see, when authority starts at the house, authority won't be wrong, or hard, at the house of the Lord. Now, I'm thankful today. Thankful, amen. The statutes, the Bible says, and the judgments of God, they are right. There's no counsel against the Lord. No one can rise up against him and say, why thus and so? How the Lord Jesus said, yes, it's been said of you of old time, love your neighbor and hate your enemies. He said, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Pray for them that curse you. Bless them that, amen? Those were his principles. Then, of course, there was the power of that king. All the miracles that he performed. And when he performed those miracles, it was not a performance. What he was doing is he was showing forth who he was. And that he was exactly who he said he was. Who else could walk on the water? Who else could calm the sea? Who else could give sight to the blind? Who else could call the dead unto life? Who else could do these things? Who else could take two small fishes and five barley loaves and feed a multitude of hungry people?
Amen.
Who else but God could do something like this?
Amen.
Therefore, through his miracles, he is showing who he is. Then, second of all, we see the rebellion against the king. In spite of his powerful message, in spite of his wonderful person, in spite of his powerful miracles, he was rebelled against. First of all, they rejected his messenger. His messenger was none other than John the Baptist. John the Baptist was in prison. John the Baptist was rejected. John the Baptist was deemed as a madman, a crazy man, because he had a meal of locusts and wild honey. I don't think I would like that meal either, but it was good for John the Baptist, amen?
Amen.
But he came preaching, repent. Another curse word in Baptist churches today. It's sure. Called repent.
Yeah.
See, you know, a lot of times in Baptist churches now, see, again, I thank God I got saved where I got saved. I thank the Lord. There was no confusion. Hey, when I heard the gospel message, it was bright and clear. There was nobody telling me to come down here and sign some little card. And you come down here now, and now you write your name right here and shake my hand now. Now you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, don't you? Now you just repeat after me. I'm so glad that I avoided that.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm so glad I was around men of God that was uncompromising and told me that if I didn't repent of my sins and put my faith in Jesus Christ,
right.
Hey, I'm not talking like the weatherman who tells you there's a 30% chance of rain tomorrow. No, I'm telling you that 100% guaranteed, buddy, if you don't repent of your sin and put your faith in Christ, you're going to hell.
Yeah.
That's a 100% guarantee.
That's right.
I'm glad, amen, that I was around men who were uncompromising, who were not fearful, who got up, amen, with bulldog tenacity and declared the word of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, what a blessing it was. I thank God. But the Lord's messenger, he was rejected. He was rejected. He was cast into prison. And ultimately, for telling it like it is. Amen.
Amen.
He saw Herod with his brother's wife and told Herod, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife.
Yeah. Right.
And for that, he lost his head. Lord, have mercy. Oh, we think we're suffering for Jesus today?
Yeah.
We don't know what suffering is, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right.
All somebody's got to do is talk about us. Most of the time, that's enough to shut us up.
Yeah.
Amen. But no, John the Baptist lost his head. And don't think that Herod did not know before John told him that it was wrong for him to have his brother. Oh, he knew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's exactly how unregenerate people are. They hate the righteous. They hate people who are dogmatic and who will stand unapologetically without wavering on what God says is right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Let me tell you something, friend. this ain't no time to be backing up.
That's right.
Ain't no time. No time to be backing up. Hey, that junk, they teaching that junk to your kids in school now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, man. School ain't about reading, writing, and arithmetic anymore. Oh, no, 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 no. We way past that now. Yeah. Oh, no. No, see, school's about indoctrination now.
Yeah.
School has almost become a false church.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it's become.
Yeah.
Amen. Every teacher in there just about, they become like a false prophet.
Amen.
Telling all them children all this nonsense.
Yeah.
And all these, what they call drag queens, coming in these schools and reading our children.
Yeah.
Lord, have mercy.
Yeah. Well, it's okay because, you know, I guess you can be a Christian, be a homosexual too.
No. Ain't no such thing.
No.
Ain't no such thing as a Christian queer.
That's right.
Ain't no such thing.
Amen.
Ain't no such thing as a Christian thief.
Amen.
No such thing as a Christian drunk. No such thing as a Christian adult.
Yeah.
There's no such thing, amen. There's no such thing as a Christian robber.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as a Christian murderer.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as a Christian dope addict.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
No, no, the bottom line is what? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All
amen.
Things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new.
Amen.
Amen.
No, 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 listen, friend. There used to be a time the church went all in. Gun-ho got baptized me like they are now. Before a person even gets a profession of faith out of their mouth now, we ready to put them in the baptistry right there. Used to be a time though the church watched you for a while. Oh, amen.
Yeah.
Why? To make sure that what you were professing was real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Soon they. Yeah, he just said, boy, come on, let's go right now. Lord have mercy. What did John the Baptist tell the Pharisees? I'm not going to baptize any of you until you bring forth meat, fruit for repentance. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Bring forth fruit, meat for repentance. Amen. I've got the words mixed up. Amen. You know what I'm saying. You show me some evidence that what you're professing is real, and then it's time to go get baptized.
Amen.
Uh-oh. Don't like that one, do we? That's in the Bible, though. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Hey, like Pat said, man. If I get out of the Word of God, he'll respond. Come up here and get me. I'll sit down right now. If I'm outside, I will. I won't be the least bit mad. I'll go sit right back there where I'm sitting and let him straighten it out. Amen.
Okay.
No problem. But you see, they rejected it. They refused his principles, but before they did that, they denied his works. They denied, even though they were manifest right there before them, they denied them. They refused all of his principles, and finally, they attacked the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. They attributed a miracle that he performed as a work of the devil. He was casting out a demon out of someone, and they said, by the spirit of Beelzebub, did he do this?
Yeah.
Oh, I sure wish you hadn't said that. My, my, my. Now your mouth has gotten you into eternal trouble now. Just by something you have said. Because you have now blasphemed the Holy Ghost. And that cannot be forgiven in this life or in the life to come. You've attributed a work of God to the devil. They committed an unpardonable sin right there in his face. And then he goes on from chapters 14 to chapters 20. He's preparing his disciples for the time that he will go to the cross and be crucified. Three different times in those chapters, the crucifixion was mentioned. And in chapter number 21, the chapter right before the one we're in now, he is officially rejected. Go with me to chapter 21. Chapter 21, those verse 43. Therefore, say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. Huh? What is he talking about here?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. You see, just like when he said, the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. See, a lot of times people read the scripture, and they don't understand what they read.
See, all of us that keeps getting mistreated, see, Jesus already promised, the last can be, that's not what he's talking about.
No. No. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus was sent here to save his people from their sins. Now, this is not a Calvinistic doctrine, no. See, his people were Jews.
Yeah.
Amen. See, he came upon his own, amen. He came amongst his own, but what? They received him not.
Yeah.
They despised him and rejected him as Savior for his people. He has come to save them, but they rejected him. Because see, you got to understand what was going on at this time. They were looking to Jesus to come and overthrow the Roman Empire. That's all that was important to them.
Yeah.
Isn't that sad?
Yeah.
Jewish people, religious people, amen? Yeah, who ought to have known better. Just like today.
Yeah.
Many people in independent Baptist churches today could care less about us having revival. Yeah. All they're waiting for is Mr. Trump to go back to the White House.
Yeah.
Lord, have mercy.
Yeah.
That's right.
You have got to be kidding me. If that's what you're waiting on, even if it happens, do you not understand something? Listen. The spiritual degradation and debauchery that our nation is in, hey friend, it's not the answer, it's not at the White House.
That's right.
All they wanted to do was to be free from the Roman government. And all most professing Christians want today is to be free from the current government.
Yeah.
They don't want a spiritual solution to the problem that they are facing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's where we are today.
Yeah, that's right.
Fox News has brainwashed some of you so much that that's all you think about.
Man.
Yeah.
Lord have mercy. Let me tell you something. Satan is the god of this world.
That's right.
And that is why there are no Christians running governments of this world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Brother Bill, what about our founding fathers? Let me give you a little quick history lesson. Some of them may have been God-fearing men, but not all of them were.
Right?
And the reason why we have a constitution that was written based on biblical principles is because back in those days, ladies and gentlemen, the government was afraid of the church. The church has powerful testimony, so much so that those men feared the church.
Yeah.
Now it's the other way around.
Yeah.
The church is scared of the government.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Ain't got time to deal with that one. But you know that's true from 3 years ago. You know that.
Yeah.
The church showed you 3 years ago how scared they were of the government. Amen.
Yeah.
That's right.
Amen. Yeah, all our old government. Who says he's a Christian, Lord have mercy. Gonna sit there and close down house of worship, but then there's a liquor store right across the street, they can stay open. You count that essential? You count people going and getting drunk essential, but people can't come and worship?
That's right.
And you're a deacon at a church?
Yeah.
That sure must be one messed up church.
Yeah.
Lord have mercy. And what do most people do? They cow down right to the government. What happened if we'd rather obey God than man?
Yeah. Amen.
What happened if God be for us? Who can be against us?
Amen.
What happened if greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world? Amen. What happened to that?
Amen.
What happened to no weapon formed against us shall prosper?
Amen.
What happened to the promises of God?
Yeah.
Oh, we run our mouths and we say we believe this stuff. But when it comes right down to it, do we really believe it?
Yeah.
No, friend. We gotta go back and let these people in Washington nor everywhere else that we are not looking to them, but that we are looking to our God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Right.
My faith is not in the earthly kingdom or in the earthly prince. No, it's in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's in the one whose government shall have no end. And that's what the church needs. The church needs a fresh look at our King, our Savior, our Lord, and what he endured, and the price that he paid, and all these things, and the way he was rejected. Jesus saying the same thing to the church today. They said in the book of Revelation, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. That knock is not for sinners." That's our Lord standing on the outside of the church, wanting to be let in.
Amen.
Amen.
Hmm? You founded the church. You're the head of the church. You shed your blood for the church. And we have the audacity to kick you out.
Yeah.
And you actually have to knock and ask to be let in? Well, we something else, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh? How would you like it if your kids tried to put you out of your house and then told you you had to knock before you could come back in? Now you think about that for a minute.
Yeah.
Now you know how we are. Oh, dog, what are I getting a mortgage here? You must be crazy. We've done the same thing to the Lord.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Right.
Is this not his church?
Right.
Did he not purchase it with his blood?
Sure did.
Sure. Amen. But then, hey, listen, friend. He should always be welcome.
Right.
Not only is he welcome, I'm glad that he let me in this morning.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
Amen. I didn't come in here this morning because the door was unlocked. I didn't even come in here this morning just because the pastor so graciously invited me. Those things are in order, yes. But the real reason why I'm here is because the Lord who owns the church, who is the head of the church, whose glory fills the house of God,
amen,
by grace and mercy, rolled back his glory and allowed me to walk in here this morning.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
That's why I'm here. That's why you're here.
Yeah.
Amen. 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 It's the house of God. And so, therefore, you have to understand. He is being rejected. Now, notice in verse 44. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. But on whosoever shall fall, it shall grind him to powder. And when the chief priests and Pharisees heard this parable, they perceived he spake of them. He did. You know, it's almost like, I think he's talking about us. He is.
Yeah.
He is. You're right. He is. You know, sometimes years ago, when I preach, people stand and look at me like, you talking about me? Sometimes I wish I had a sign up there. But yes, I am. Bingo. Hand him a prize. Yeah, because he got to understand something. See, the Lord, he gets rejected. And watch this next verse. This is really important here. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude because they took him for a prophet. You know what I can't stand about Hollywood's depiction of our Lord? They always want to make him look like some old long-haired, you know, effeminate person. No.
Yeah.
That was Lord.
No.
And I got another update to you about the Lord's been in the Bible all along. The Lord Jesus, during his earthly ministry, was not filled with people walking up to him and slapping him whenever they got good and ready. Oh, no. No. Many times the Bible says they wanted to lay hands on him, but he did not allow it to happen.
Yep.
They took up stones to try to stone him, but he didn't allow it to happen.
Right.
The only time that people put their hands on him and beat him half to death was before he went to the cross.
Yeah.
It was then time to submit to that. Our Lord was no coward. He was no punching bag.
That's
people
right.
Didn't just go up to him and slap him and kick him whenever they got good and ready.
Right.
You got the wrong view of Jesus.
That's right.
it was time for him to go to the cross, then he submitted to all that. But not a moment before then.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
And I know there's got to be a balance. Please, don't misunderstand what I'm getting ready to say. But do you not realize that is exactly how people perceive Christians should be even today?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm? Yeah.
I was talking to someone who was a member of the Nation of Islam. And he told me, he said, well, you Christians believe that if someone slaps you, you will turn the other cheek. So that means according to what you believe, I can halt and slap you right now. I looked right back at him and told him, let me tell you something. All I can promise you is that if you slap me, I will be the last Christian you ever slap. I'll take that towel from around your head and hang you with it and send you to your 72 virgins.
Amen.
Amen. No. See, you got to understand something. No, we don't instigate it. We don't start it. But there is nothing godly about you standing back and letting somebody run over you and your family and take advantage of them, and you stand back and say, well, I just pray for them. No. You come in my house and you bother me up. No, somebody else better be praying for you.
Yeah. Amen.
No, my prayer meeting ended when you walked in my house.
Yeah.
At the end of the prayer meeting. But the bottom line is, listen, friend, he was rejected. He was rejected. And that's exactly what the scripture means when it says in Psalm 2, why doth the heathen rage? Why were these people enraged? Why did they hate Jesus so much? Why did they want to put their hands on him? Someone that was only doing good. Someone that was performing miracles. Someone that lived a sinless and perfect life. Why? Why was everybody except those that believed, the few that he had with him? And we even know one of them was a devil.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Why? Why? Why when he was there in the Garden of Gethsemane and they came to arrest him? Then there were clubs and weapons and everything, and swords. He looked up at him and said, listen, I talk daily in the temple. Why are you coming after me like this now? But he knew.
Yeah.
His time was at hand. It's time. Huh? You ever had someone supposed to be close to you? And just because you want to live for Jesus, just because you're in church all the time, and just because you talk about God all the time, they come back at you with this hatred.
Yeah.
And I mean with this just nasty. I mean, why? Why? Because they have no relationship with the Lord.
Yeah.
See, you've got to understand something. You're either in love with Jesus or you despise him today.
Yeah.
There is no middle ground with it.
No.
Oh no, now I don't really have a relationship with Jesus, see, but I, you know, now me and Jesus, we all right. They that are not for me, he says, are against me.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. I've been hearing about this fence people have been straddling for years. I don't mean to hurt nobody's feelings, but that ain't Bible. There ain't no fence about it.
Right.
You're either on one side or the other.
Right.
There is no fence to scramble.
Amen.
You're either in or out.
Yeah.
You're either saint or you ain't.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm telling you, friend, hey, and they had made their minds up. They had declared their allegiance, and their allegiance was against him. Then he goes on trial. Here's the perfect man. And on the other side, they have a choice between him and a robber named Barabbas. Now, who do you want? And you know what the world does? The world's still choosing Barabbas.
Yeah.
Give us Barabbas. Because, see, Barabbas uses curse words. Barabbas has all that rock music I like.
Yeah.
Barabbas has those drinks I like. Barabbas has that fornication and immorality that I like. Barabbas, if he doesn't have it, he's going to go out and take it from somebody.
Yeah,
give us Barabbas. What you going to do with the perfect one? Oh, crucify him.
Yeah.
Crucify him. Get him out of here. Why? Because they have no relationship with him. Huh? People always say this foolish thing about, well, I would believe God if he would manifest it. No, no, you wouldn't.
No.
Because the Lord did just that right here. And yet, the multitude despised him.
Yeah.
They discredited him. They said he was of the devil. And ultimately, they crucified him.
Yeah.
He was rejected. He had conflict with the religious leaders. And then, of course, we know in chapters 26 and 27, you have his suffering, his crucifixion, and his death. But in chapter 28, we have the resurrection of our King. Amen. Our Lord was not murdered. He was not murdered at all.
No.
He laid down his life.
Yeah.
He sacrificed his life. He said, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down of myself and will take it up again. Yeah. This temple will I destroy, and in 3 days I will raise it up again. And oh, thank God, amen. Early that first day of the week, when old Mary and the sisters went there to the tomb, and there was a stone already rolled away, and there inside the tomb, there was a cocoon of the clothing that held the body of Jesus. No, there were not clothes thrown all over that tomb. No, he very calmly came up out of those clothes and very calmly walked through that rock. No one had to roll a rock out of the way
Amen.
To let him out. No, the rock got rolled away to reveal he was already gone.
Amen.
And when they came there, listen, they came there and the angel said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He that was here is not here. He is risen. Amen. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today.
Amen.
Oh, like the songwriter says,
Amen.
You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, he does. He lives. He lives. He's alive in the well. He's alive forevermore. He has the keys of hell and of death. Amen. We are here today. That's why we're going to worship. Amen. Why? Because we worship a resurrected Christ. Do you not realize the cult of this world, if they are worshiping somebody that was real, it's somebody that's dead and in the grave. But thank God, yes, our Savior, he died, but he rose again. He's alive forevermore.
Amen.
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 Oh, yes. He's not on the cross. He's at the right hand of the Father. Oh, my dear friend. Just like the resurrection, the ascension was just as miraculous. After 50 days, after the resurrection, there he is. He's about ready to leave them. And they see him slowly ascend up into heaven. I don't know about you, but I think I'd have been just like those disciples. I mean, you imagine somebody rising before you and above you, and they just keep going, and they just keep going. Oh, no, no, no. We ain't talking about no Superman now. No. It's much better than that. Oh, no. All this make-believe. Oh, this was real. I mean, there he is. He's ascending. And once again, those angels come and speak to those disciples again and say, hey, listen, you men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up in the heavens? Hey, listen, friend, this same Jesus who you saw ascend into heaven will also in like manner come down from heaven. Amen. And let me tell you something, friend. Hey, he is coming. He's coming, he's coming, he's coming. I know that the second coming to the earth is different from the rapture, but listen, before the rapture takes place, he's going to come and meet us in the air. Amen.
Amen.
He is coming. Hallelujah. He's coming, he's coming. That's the next thing on his calendar. You talk about your planner and all the events you got planned out. Well, listen, if our God has a planner, he opens up that planner and says, you know what? Next thing on the agenda, he's coming. I'm coming. Amen. I'm coming. I don't know. Jesus said that only the Father knows. But hey, when he tells me it's time, I'm coming. Amen. Oh, yeah, we got clocks here on our computer. We got clocks on our cell phone. But if anybody was wearing a watch in here, we'd all probably have a different time on those watches. You know what? Hey, you say, the Lord hasn't come yet. The only reason why he hasn't come, because it's not time yet. But one day, it's going to be time. The only reason why you haven't died yet is because it's not time. But the time is going to come. The one day it's going to be time. One day, hey, Jesus is going to say, it's time. It's time. And the trumpet is going to sound, hallelujah, and thank God, hallelujah. When it becomes time, he's going to come and stop in the middle of the air and thank the Lord. Those that have gone on before us by way of the grave, they're going to be resurrected first. And then we that are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet him together in the air, and forever shall we be with the Lord. And the Bible says these are comforting words.
Amen.
Yeah.
The average person in church ain't even looking forward to it. Lord have mercy.
Yeah,
amen, says I am too.
Amen.
I like what the songwriter said. I can't feel at home in this world anymore. This world's not my home. I'm just passing through, amen. Amen. I don't belong here. I speak a different language. I have different desires. I have different passions. Hey, the world cannot identify with me because it could not identify with my Savior.
Yeah.
I'm in him and he's in me, and therefore, just like him, I'm strange to the world, just like he was. The longer you're in Christ, the stranger you are to become to this world.
Yeah.
And the stranger this world ought to become to you.
Yeah.
Amen. My dear friend, the Bible says, back when I text that, I got to hurry. They made light of it. They made light of the invitation from the king to come to the marriage supper. And what are people doing today? They are making light of eternal things. They're making light of it. You see, you have to understand. What are they making light of? I'll give you three or four things real quickly. First of all, they're making light of the message. In Matthew chapter 13, don't turn there for the sake of time, we hear the parable of the sower. And the first seed fell by the wayside. This is what happens when people make light of God's message.
Yeah.
It just falls by the wayside.
Yeah.
It goes in one ear and right out the other.
Yeah.
They make light of it. You see, it's what happened to the prophet Ezekiel. We said in Ezekiel 33 and verse 32, he said, and lo, thou art a very lovely song, one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. In other words, Ezekiel, they've heard this so long. They've heard this so many times. It no longer has an effect on them. It's just like a familiar song. So therefore, what do? They walk away and they make light of it.
Yeah.
Second of all, they make light of the mandate, his commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. Hereby we know that we do love him if we keep his commandments. For he that saith, I know him that keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him.
Hmm?
What are people doing today? They make light of God's mandate. God is clear. Amen. Clearly. The commandments are not confusing. They're not complicated. God's word is not complicated. Oh, that old English is written. I can't understand all on a hogwash.
That's right.
Hogwash. There's nothing complicated about it. God has given us his word. The same Bible that tells me thou shalt not steal is also the same Bible that tells me two hairy, stinking men ought not be laying up together.
Yeah. Amen.
It's very, very plain. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves.
Yeah.
So you're not born a girl and when you decide to become a boy.
Yeah, that's right.
You can't do that. Because you've got a scientific makeup and you call DNA. That's how we know who you're related to.
Yeah.
There are 46 chromosomes in your body. And when it is tested, it is either going to come out XX or XY.
Yeah.
You are either male or female. That's the only two genders there are.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
There is nothing confusing about that.
Amen.
Oh, but we're living in a world of confusion now. Men want to be women, and women want to be men. Amen?
Yeah.
And then children think they're animals, the whole nine of them. Oh, we're living in a world of confusion.
One of the silliest things I've ever heard of. Heard of some school where some kid came in and talking about he was a dog or a cat. And you take his behind outside and tie him to a tree then. I guarantee you his confusion will clear right off. No, we don't allow dogs in the school. You going out there, take you up, put a leash on you, put you and tie you up to a tree, and feed you a nice big Hebrew boy apple.
Yeah.
And you get out on all fours, but eat every bit of it. No.
Oh well, if that's what he thinks he is, we just gonna just go. No.
Yeah.
No. Very plain, very clear. But what people make light of it, they make light of his mandate. Thirdly, they make light of the man of God. The Bible says they mocked the messengers of God. They despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was no remedy. People make light of the messenger. They make light of God's man. They don't even respect the man of God anymore. I remember as kids, and sometimes some of the preachers in the community were known. Like I said, the church used to have a presence. There was just something about the house of God. I can remember when I was growing up. I can't explain to you what it was. But there was a certain reverence and respect that was associated with every house of worship.
Man.
We walked along, I don't care if it was a Catholic church. All right, man, watch your filthy mouth. You see a church building right there, be quiet. Somebody that we knew was a preacher, there was a reverence. There was a certain respect. Oh, not anymore. No, not anymore. No, they make light of the preacher now. And finally, they make light of meeting with God. I talked about those appointments a while ago. You and I have an appointment that we're going to keep.
Yeah.
It's an appointment with death. Two or 3 weeks ago, I was up in Dayton, Ohio, preaching at a first cousin who passed away. They were all raised Catholic. My aunt and uncle, by marriage, had 8 children. And he was the second or third oldest of those 8 children they had. They were all raised Catholic. Were Catholic. And there was not really much evidence that he knew the Lord. I don't know whether he did or not. But what I do know is if I look at that funeral, I stood there and preached. There were some that were listening and were taking it in. But you know, the majority of the people had no idea that day. I would have been but a crazy fool to them. They made light. Some of his siblings sit right down in the first row. Sit there and laugh throughout the whole service. Because, you know, that was just him. You know, I'm all right. No, you have to understand. I understand you're going to have a memorial service here soon. Everybody that came here needs to be here. See, you know why? Whether you're the person or not, I don't matter. Because, see, the Bible says it's better to go to the house of mourning than the house of feast.
Yeah.
It's better to attend a funeral than it is a party. Oh, Brother Bill, you must be crazy. No, I'm not. If I'm crazy, the Word of God's crazy. That's what the Bible says. It's better. Why is it better? I can't have no fun at no funeral. Ain't about you having fun. Not about that. Lord have mercy. That's all we think about most of the time. I just want to go have me some fun. And that ain't just to the young people either. Amen. Some of us older people, we're just as wicked as they are. We just want to have a good time. Time to let the good times roll. You be time when you see them older couples and you thought they were married. And then finally you get to talk until you find out, no, they ain't married at all. No, my first wife died, this is my girlfriend. We ain't gonna get married because we don't mess up our social security.
and travel all over the country showing young people what it means to shack up.
Yeah.
Lord have mercy.
Yeah.
We older people are just as big a whoremonger as these young kids are.
Yeah.
Show them how to do it. But the bottom line is when I go to a house of mourning, I am once again reminded that my day is coming too. That just like that person went, one day I'm going. And Lord, teach me to number my days that I might apply my heart to wisdom.
Bill, I don't know that I'm going to have enough money to live on when I retire. There's one problem. No one gave you a guarantee that you're going to live long enough to retire.
Yeah.
Death is no respecter of person. Young people die, old people die, rich people die, poor people die, black people die, white people die, it don't matter. But at the thought of meeting with God, people make life. They make life. You see, whenever people make light of God's message, His mandate, His man, and meeting with Him, they are making light of God Himself. And oh, are we not living in those times today where people are making light of the very person of God?
Yeah.
I don't know where you are today, but I want to say this as I prepare to take my seat. If you are here today and you don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that is real, hey, no sir. You don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that is real, I beseech you in Christ's name, be reconciled to God today. Not because I got up here to preach, but because you have no guarantee once you walk out of this door that you're going to ever have another opportunity. You have no guarantee that you're ever going to come back here again and hear another message from the Lord that you will take life. Don't do that. He loved you. He demonstrated His love for you when He got on that cross and stretched His arms wide. He hung and He bled and He died for your sins, for my sins, the sins of the whole world. And if you want a relationship with Him today, it just takes two things. Number one, repentance toward God. Being sorry for the sorry sinners that we are, and putting our faith in Jesus Christ and only in Him. And if you're willing to do that today, God is rich unto all that call upon Him. He said, whosoever will come unto me, I will in no wise cast him out. But please don't make the mistake of walking out of here unprepared and once again just taking it lightly. There's no light matter at all. We're talking about your soul, Pastor. I'm done.
You all stand to your feet. We'll have our invitation. If God has spoken to your heart, I'd encourage you to do what God tells you to do. And good preaching today. Your pastor needed it.